Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Double to the right wing, crossover left hand with one underhand scoop on the rim, no good, tip, no good, Looney tip again, rebound, Santos brings it back out to Moody, to Santos, top side three, he got it! 113-89. Santos going to put the headset on. And he's going to talk to us here on the radio side. Okay, first of all, how big was it for you guys to come back and win this game after a tough loss last night?
I think more special than win the game was just how we won the game, you know? I think that was more special for us, especially everybody feeling good, everybody playing the right way.
I love Gabe!
GP2, the young glove there, chiming in.
Yeah, I think that was the most important for us, how we won the game.
And how cool is it for you and, you know, for Pajemski, he's a second-year player, and for Quinton Post and Moses Moody, for all the guys, the young guys, to come in and do so well tonight?
That was amazing. That was amazing. You see all the young guys coming in and help the team, especially playing so hard that we were playing the right way. And that's one of the steps that we got to achieve and play like that every night so we can keep building, we can keep going up, you know.
How much did you guys talk before last night's game? Because in that last night's game, you played really well offensively as well. Getting the ball to the paint, get paint touches before you shoot, and make sure the ball switches side to side.
So, like I told you, yesterday we did play well on offense, but the thing that made us lost the game was turnovers.
Yep.
And today we have more control of the possessions. We were making like 100% like sure passes, the best, you know, like good passes and not like hard passes.
Yeah.
So I think that was the difference from yesterday and like tonight.
How do you weigh that while you're playing, Guy? Because obviously the game goes by really, it goes really, really fast. The risk reward in a pass, like just an easy pass or trying to make a pass that could maybe get a bucket but has a little more risk to it.
Yeah, you got it. That's why basketball is so hard, you know. You got to take these decisions in a split of second. And you got to, it's hard because you got to see the window. If you throw the pass a little bit late or early, that's going to cause a turnover.
Yep.
So you got to be like really, really 100% sure. If a pass is ball right there, the ball is going right there and it's not a turnover and not going to lead to a fast break.
Again, congratulations tonight. A career-high 19 points to go with 7 boards and an assist. Career-high 7 field goals tonight. And your numbers just keep going up and up because your play just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Guy.
Yep.
Guy Santos, Warriors win 131-106. Golden State comes away with a big win over Chicago. Final was 131-106. They get the victory, get back to 500. And Guy Santos had the right answer when we asked him about tonight. And he says, wasn't just getting the win. It's about the way we play. And we wanted to play the right way. And they did that tonight. The Golden State moved the ball. The bench was fantastic. 83 points off the bench compared to 41 for Chicago. It's a season high. You have to go back to the second game of the year where they had 80 bench points in Utah. And Golden State limited their fourth quarter turnovers to 4. And in the second half, they outscored the Bulls by a count of 68-42 en route to this win. And, you know, again, when they have a high assist total, they usually win 36 assists on 46 buckets. And they took 15 more shots than Chicago.
And only turned it over 4 times in the second half. Chicago only had 6 assists in the second half.
Wow.
6.
They had 15 in the first.
Yeah, well, they were rolling. They were making shots. And really, again, the 16 for 40 from 3 is a solid number. It really is. But 13 for 17 in the first half, and they were only up 1 point. I mean, the Warriors last night were rolling. I forget the exact total in the first half, but they were up 17. Now, yes, I mean, they did cough it up because they couldn't make a shot in the second half. But when you're just killing it from 3 and you're up 1, because you know it's coming. I mean, you're not going 26 for 34, whatever that is. It's just not going to happen. Now, I didn't expect they would go, what, 3 for 22 in the second half. I said 13 for 17. They're actually 13 for 18 in the first half. They were 3 for 22. And really, for, you know, all practical purposes, they didn't make a three in the time that it mattered. I mean, Javon Carter was the only one that made a three, and he came in garbage time. So it just goes to show you, you have to make shots. It doesn't guarantee you you're going to win games. But, boy, if you go on droughts like that, it just crushes you. Because teams nowadays, and I know people say this all the time, well, if you're not making threes, take it inside. I'm like, yeah, in theory it sounds good, but that's just not what teams do. They're going to continue to play the percentages. And the percentages are you're going to shoot 38% from 3 or 37 or 36, and you're 0 for 10. Well, you can't get the percentages if you don't keep shooting, so they're going to keep shooting. The teams do not do that anymore. Teams don't say, oh, man, we missed our first 10 from 3. Let's just go ahead and take it into the paint the next 10 possessions. Not going to happen. Not the way the game's played. So, you know, sometimes you get a game like this where you just run into a spell of cold, ice-cold shooting, and you see what happens. You just get run out of the gym at that point. Because when you miss, there's lots of long rebounds. It's hard to get back defensively and get all lined up. Threes, to me, still to this day, are a little lazy. And I don't want to say it breeds laziness, but, you know, you're not moving as much. You're just standing around the perimeter. You're not getting to the rim. You're not getting bodies. You're not getting to the free throw line for the most part. And when you're missing, it just kind of crushes everything. So that was the extreme version of it. We got the extreme good from the Bulls in the first half, the extreme good from the Bulls in a bad way in the second half. And the Warriors just kept plugging away, kept plugging away, kept plugging away. I think I said it off the air, but I was like, I feel good they're down 11. I don't need them to be up early. I don't want this team to be up early. Get down and get your way back into it. They seem to fight. They seem to play better from behind for whatever reason. Not that that's a great trait, but they came back. They played well. The bench was, just incredible. Nothing short of incredible. Post was fantastic. Santos was great. It was really nice to see Pajemski come back and play a nice, controlled game and hit some shots. I think that first three really must have felt good for him, because he's been struggling mightily from three this year. So to come back and hit that shot was really good to see. Moody, as you mentioned during the game, really playing with a lot of confidence and shooting the ball really well from three. So it's just a really, really nice victory for him. And, you know, you needed that one, because these teams are pretty similar when you look at it. Maybe the Warriors are a little bit better and they're at home, but they were on a back-to-back, so you had that handicap. But it was nice to see them get this win, and they need them. They got, like, what, 5 more home games left, I believe, and then you got 13 the rest of the year after that. That is it. So you got to start banking some of these home wins and start giving yourself, if you can, a little breathing room above 500. If you can get to like 3 or 4 games above 500, that'd be beautiful before you head on the road.
And, of course, you know, coming in tonight, the attack was so balanced. 7 guys in double figures.
Yep.
You had...
And 5 of them off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 83 points off the bench. And then you had a total of 4 different players with 4 assists or more. And that means everybody's moving the ball. And if you add 3 into that, then you add 6 guys. Yep. with 3 or just more. So ball moving, everything was going well tonight for them. Once they got settled down, after a tough start, Bulls jumped on them early, and they were on fire early. So, but do you expect Chicago to make a move at this point?
If it makes them better.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There you go.
I never know what to expect. Like, you would think LaVine would move, but he's got a pretty exorbitant price tag.
Well, you know, here's the other thing. Everybody talks about the rumors and everything. There was no rumor on the Carl Anthony Towns trade.
Yeah.
That just came out of the blue, right?
Yep.
Because they kept it tight. So you don't know what's going to happen heading to the deadline. You know, there's always going to be a surprise move or two. This year it doesn't look like there may be more than maybe one you know, blockbuster trade just because of who's under contract for how many years and what teams need help, what teams don't. And the other fact, I think, that's changed the deadline over the last few years is that the play-in game. Now you got more buyers than sellers. And where in the past you might have more sellers, now there's not many sellers, especially like, say, in the West. Not many teams are, you know, going to be selling unless teams decide that, you know, this is it and we're going to, you know, go in a different direction. So we'll see.
But and seriously, I mean, this is just me talking, but if you're buying to get into a play-in game, you got problems. I mean, you're buying to get into, like, one game and you could be out. Like, I'll buy a little bit to get me to, like, a five or a six, but I'm not buying to get to play-in game. Like, I the one team I'm looking at in terms of buying is OKC. Because they have so many assets that they're not going to be able to use coming up. And this may be a time I've always been a massive proponent. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey, doesn't matter. When you're the best team in the league, get better. Just dominate everybody. Instead of being the best, be like better than the best. Like give yourself the best chance to win that you possibly can. So I'm looking at the top teams to see what they're going to do. In terms of teams that may sell, obviously Chicago's one. I mean, I don't know what the Nets have to sell anymore. Maybe Johnson, I guess. I don't know if they're going to give up Thomas. He's a draw, and he's on a kind of a friendly contract. And then you get the bottom teams. They're not looking to really sell because they're already bad. They don't need to get any worse than they are. And then the other team I'm really kind of looking at are the Pelicans. What are the Pelicans going to do? Could they entice someone to take Zion? What could they get for him? What could they get for Ingram? Could they move some of those guys? Because I still think they could probably get something, a pretty nice package for Zion. Although, with how many games he's played, that's kind of a hard sell.
You go back to last year, they were in first place in the West.
I know.
First place.
But can you trust Zion?
That's the question.
If you could give me 60, 65 games out of him per year and then be healthy, playoff time, take it. We're good. Now, they've wanted to move Ingram. I don't know that the price has ever been met, but they're going to be an interesting team to me because they are, I mean, they're so far out of it now, they're not climbing back into it.
No.
So do you hope, just keep it together and hope that you can keep that core together and still be bad and get a top five pick? Or do you say, all right, let's just go ahead and see what we can do? Because the worst thing is you're out of it completely, and you get hot at the end of the year, right? When, like, 10 out of 15, you're like, oh, great. Great. Now we're drafting 10th. Beautiful. Like, you're rooting against yourself, which is a horrible place to be. Warriors will be interesting. What the Warriors decide they want to do. I know a lot of people want them to do a lot of different things. I've been a proponent of what Steve and Steph and Draymond have said. Look, we don't want to do anything foolish. We're not going to do anything just so it appears like, hey, let's go get Jimmy Butler. Like, again, I always ask people, so you want to trade, to what end do you want to trade? To get a fifth seed, sixth seed? So you're not – you got to get – the Warriors would have to get so much better to beat Oklahoma City. It's not even feasible at that point. So JJ trying to get as good as – Dallas when they're healthy, or Memphis or Houston. I'm not sure if that's possible either. So I'll be curious if they can find something around the fringes maybe that can make this team better. But, you know, they got, you know, Santos and Post now have been playing well, and I'm sure they want to see more of them. So I'm just happy watching this team and liking what I've seen the last two games offensively specifically.
Well, I think what you should do is go home tomorrow. We have a game on Saturday,
yep.
Of course, upcoming broadcast
we
brought
do.
To you by Ticketmaster.
Yep.
Warriors and Lakers. That's a 5 o'clock airtime, 5:30 start, presented by Google Cloud.
Yep.
And I think tomorrow you should spend time with your bunny rabbit and just explain all this to him. And or is it him
her.
Or her? Her.
We Make
think.
Sure she stays in the yard.
We think. Yeah.
Yeah.
She got out again last week.
Oh,
she dug
goodness.
Under the fence.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like jailbreak. I was calling her like Andy Dufresne.
She like,
I'm like, Dufresne, where are you?
She reaching up the rain.
Yeah, it wasn't raining enough. I mean, there was like a circuit, like just a hole. in the bottom of the fence. And I go out there, and she's just out in the front yard just eating the bushes and stuff. I'm like, are you – oh. Because I'm obviously I'm afraid she'll run out in the street and some bad will happen. So I'm like, get back in here.
I have this image of the bunny rubbing, you know, some sandpaper on a piece of driftwood on the beach in Alameda.
Oh, God. Oh. Now, that would be pretty funny. That would be pretty funny.
We will see you Saturday.
I will be here ready for the lake show.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.